There you go. They're beating the path down here. We're beaten. Okay, you're beaten. I already prayed, so go. Go. Pass it out, fellas. All right, very good. Okay. Hey, the weather forecast is good, right? No rain in sight for like a whole week or so. Have some of y'all been praying for that? Yeah, do you believe your prayers can change the weather? It does change a lot. How many of you have heard that the weatherman is the only man on the planet that can be wrong 3/4 of the time and get paid well for it? Yeah. The weather has been a real interrupter in Marcia and Dennis's plans. We started off 4 months ago to building a house before that we knew that we would step back in as your interim pastor. But so all this has come together, and we have waited on the weather. I mean, there were like 7 weeks we got nothing done on the house because of the mud pit that it is out there. And I've been really tempted to be discouraged about it. On the other hand, a couple of amazing things have happened almost because of it. Number one, we did get to buy a fifth-wheel trailer. I told you we were going to do that. Marsha and I bought us a trailer, and we got a place to put it and live in it while the house is being built because we had to move. And it's just so lovely. Love it. It's the Queen's Palace. She's the queen of my single wide. And we got the deck and all that stuff. And once we got in there and looked at it, go, ooh, pretty small. And so Marsha's like, where's the washer and dryer? So in the midst of that, been there and done that. In the midst of that, though, the Lord spoke to someone, friends, and they said, listen, we've got a nice 3-bedroom condo that overlooks a golf course in Branson. And you see the golf course out this side and the golf course out that side. It's luxurious, 3-bedroom. Why don't you just use it? Here's the key. And I said, okay, we'll pray. Marcia said, we'll take it. So, but we've been waiting on the weather, and I've been praying about all that. It's still getting favor. And, you know, it seems like there's nothing we can do about the weather, right? Unless we can. Maybe we can change the weather. You know, it's in the Bible. There's examples of people praying the weather was changed. And one of my favorites, you probably would never guess, a man that you'll know prayed and showed us how to change the weather. And his name is Solomon. Solomon. How many have heard Solomon? And what is he famous for? What do you think of when you hear Solomon? Wisdom. He had this incredible wisdom, a spiritual, supernatural thing. Smartest man that ever lived. Okay, what else is he known for? Riches. Yeah. Great wealth. What else? Women. Yeah, he had a women problem. Too many wives. That was not good. But he also, what else? Built a temple. Thank you. He built the temple for the Lord and established a good government and brought all this money in. And in fact, I've heard it estimated in today's dollars, that temple would take over $200 billion, billion to build. So it was fabulous. Here's another thing that you probably never thought about. He was an incredible man with the ability to pray, a man of prayer. In fact, he prayed in the Bible and incredible things changed in the forecast coming up. Let's read this together and see what you think. This is titled Changing the Weather. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Let's pause. Solomon prayed, and what happened? Fire literally came down out of heaven. And it came down from God, and it landed on the offerings that were there. Solomon was dedicating the temple to the Lord. He had all the Israelites there. They had brought many, many thousands of sacrifices, animals. They were to be burned. That was the Old Testament way. You brought your animals. They were killed by the priest, and then the meat was burned there on the altar. It was all a symbol of the fact that it was the transference of the guilt of sin. The people's sin would be transferred to these animals, these bulls, these goats. The animal would give up its life for our sin. He would shed its blood for our sin, and it would be consumed there. And that was a foretelling of Jesus, wasn't he? Because he was the perfect Lamb of God. His life was shed. His blood was shed for ours, for our forgiveness of our sin. In this case, they were doing what they were supposed to, and this lightning came from heaven. Bam! That was the fire is a symbol of acceptance. They were to burn those offerings, and that meant that symbolically, we brought these offerings with a good heart, Lord, a heart of forgiveness, of repentance and humbleness before you, and it's burned up, signifying God accepts it. This case, God didn't have to wait for a fire. He brought it. God in heaven is so moved that he brought the fire and accepted Solomon's prayer. And then when the presence of God, it says the glory of the Lord filled the temple, that was the glorious presence of God. It came down in the form of a cloud, and it filled that whole area and so that people couldn't even stand before him. Watch this, verse 2, the priest could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. When all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, "He is good. His love endures forever." What a magnificent church service. Fire of God, the presence of God, complete corporate worship and falling down before the Lord. That is a church service any preacher would dream of. And it was Solomon because he prayed. After he prayed, that happened. Going on, verse 12. The Lord appeared to Solomon, him, at night and said, "I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land and send a plague among my people, if," watch this, see if you've heard this before, "if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." The Lord said that, if my people will do that. "Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there." Solomon prayed. God was moved. God spoke those words. That verse 14 is like one of the most preached verses of all time. I've preached it a couple of times, use it as the model for revival. We want to see God do great things. Let's do these four things. I'm sure you've preached it too, Mike. And so many preachers have. And it's a word from the Lord. And so I look at this. And I always ask questions when I read the Bible. When I read a passage, I suggest you do this. Always ask questions about what you're reading. Ask the question, what? What is it saying? Who? Who is saying it? Who's talking? Who's it talking to? Who, what, when, where, why, how? If you'll ask those six questions, you'll help you understand Scripture. And I look at this, and I want to say, what did Solomon pray? What did he do that in verse 7 caused heaven to move? And how do I find that out? Somebody say chapter 6. Brilliant Bible students you guys are. So let's go back to chapter 6, and this is kind of long, but listen, I know you love the Bible, so we'll just read this. What was it Solomon prayed? 2 Chronicles chapter 6, beginning in verse 12. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the whole assembly of Israel and spread out his hands. He stood on the platform and then knelt down before the whole assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven. When anyone wrongs their neighbor and is required to take an oath, and they come and swear the oath before your altar in this temple, then hear from heaven and act. Judge between your servants, condemning the guilty and bringing down on their heads what they have done, and vindicating the innocent by treating them in accordance with their innocence. That does not sound like some, oh, thou great and glorious God who inhabits the world and the universe, shine your face upon. Solomon is praying. Now listen, y'all. It says in the Old Testament, when you do something wrong to your neighbor or their livestock, you need to make it good to them. You need to promise to repay them. You need to come to the temple and make good on that. Whoa. Kind of serious prayer. Verse 24, when your people Israel had been defeated by an enemy because they had sinned against you, and when they turn back and give praise to your name, praying and making supplication before you in this temple, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin your people Israel and bring them back to the land you gave them and their ancestors. Wow. He said, Lord, when they mess up, when they sin before you and you bring an enemy, a neighbor against them, and they conquer and they kill and subdue them and haul them into, wow. It's kind of serious here. Verse 26, when the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because your people have sinned against you, when they pray toward this place and give praise to your name and turn from their sin because you have afflicted them, then hear from heaven and forgive the sins of your people, or your servants, your people Israel. Teach them the right way to live and send rain on the land when you gave your people for an inheritance. He's saying, Lord, when you bring a drought and people are getting hungry and starting to starve, and then they come to their senses and realize we messed up, it's our fault. This is Solomon's prayer. The one that moved heaven. Verse 28, and when famine or plague comes to the land, or blight or mildew, locusts or grasshoppers, or when enemies besiege them in any of their cities, whatever disaster or disease may come, and when a prayer or plea is made by anyone among your people Israel, being aware of their affliction and pains and spreading out their hands toward this temple, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place. Forgive and deal with everyone according to all they do, since you know their hearts, for you alone know the human heart, so that they will fear you and walk in obedience to you all the time they live in the land you gave our ancestors when they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin. Let's stop. Enough. Solomon's prayer is, Lord, when we blow it, we mess up, and we repent of our sin, and we come back to you, then you can bless us, Lord. And does not the Lord bring disasters like that upon folks? He does. It's all over the Bible. It says in Psalms that he brings us the water of affliction and the bread of adversity. In Hebrews 12, it's talked about God will discipline. He uses it. The word is discipline. God will bring some circumstances. God will allow some circumstances to discipline us, to bring us back to the right place with the Lord. Josh sang this morning, and led us, we sang that God's reckless. He will go to any extent to reach his children. Why will he do that? Because he loves us so much. This is pretty as hard praying. This is not like asking Solomon, would you bless the food so we can eat it? And yet, this is the prayer that moved heaven. You notice there in verse 14, God said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I can heal them and their land, their nation, their church, their family, their heart. That just sounds a whole lot like what Solomon prayed, isn't it? Kind of echoes what he said. Solomon seems to be of the same heart and mind to the Lord, especially about church and the temple. And storms might come in our life because of the things that Solomon talked about. And he says, when you're in that storm, pray like this. So I'm asking a question about this again, and here's where I'm going this morning. I asked this question, okay, Solomon, if that prayer was so powerful and it moved you so that folks could get out of a storm, can we say, here's the question, if this prayer works when we are in a storm, will it work before the storm? Can it work to prevent a storm? Is there anything in Solomon's prayer that we should be praying regularly? What are those three things? I'm going to suggest three today that'll make you possible to change your forecast. First of all, start at humble. Verse 14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Humble up. First thing, before when you come to the Lord in prayer, start at humble. That's what Solomon did. Solomon humbled himself before the Lord. He got down on his knees. He lifted his hands before the Lord. In the Old Testament, when you humbled yourself, you bowed. You get down on your knees. You got down on your face like the people did. When you humble yourself before somebody, you are saying, you are higher than I am. For the Christian, it's, Lord, you are higher than I am. I'm not worthless. I'm a child of God, but I'm not God. And Lord, you are sovereign over all things. You're sovereign over my life. And before I pray to you, Lord, about the storms that I'm in or trying to prevent some storms, let's establish the fact again, Lord, that you are God. And what you say counts, and what you want is matters. And Lord, I want to say that I want your agenda today, not my agenda. That's where we start. Is that a good place to start? I would suggest to you that Jesus prayed like that. See if you remember this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You're holy. Okay, what's the next verse? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Shoot, I get myself too excited. Listen, I'm a little excited today. I'm not quite. Some of y'all have been helping us pray for my family. You know, my youngest brother got saved after praying for him for 40 years. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? And some of you have also been praying with us for his son, my nephew, Colton, who just turned 21. Well, in the first service, after the third song, the Lord spoke and said, the power of salvation is here. Get up and give the gospel. I was a little hesitant because I imagine stuff. I prayed, waited, and the Lord made it clear. Get up, give the gospel. It's in the middle of praise and worship. Get up, give the gospel. Tell them about Jesus. Offer them to get saved. I did. And my 21-year-old nephew came down to this altar bawling and crying and trembling and said, my heart's about to beat out of my chest. I've got to do this for the Lord. Been praying for him, and prayer changed the forecast for my nephew's life. We need to start at humble. Lord, I'm humble before you. What does that word humble really mean? I love what Henry Blackaby said. Henry Blackaby said that real humility is really wanting what God wants. You see that? I really want what you want. Way more than I want what I want. Lord, your agenda, not mine. I'm about to pray to you, Lord, and I want to pray powerful, move heaven like Solomon. Let me start by saying, it's not about me and not about my agenda, not about my words. It is all about you, God. I want to be humble before the Lord. Here's what I've noticed. When we come to the Lord in prayer and we say, Lord, I'm going to pray for you about these things. I always have a list of things. We're going to get to that. That's point number two. But before that, Lord, I want to make sure this is humble. I want what you want. Lord, you are the sovereign God. Sometimes in the midst of that prayer, as I'm praying, he completely changes my mind. He can change your desire on the spot. As we come before him humble, sometimes we find out, whoa, I've really been wanting this. I've really been praying for it. I thought it was so important. Now that I'm humble before the Lord and I see that he is God and prayer is really about hearing from God more than him hearing from us. Prayer is really about entering a conversation into the presence of God, that holy, glorious presence of God where we come and then the Lord speaks. That's really what prayer is about. And lo and behold, he can unveil his agenda just like he did this morning in the first service. Whoever gives a gospel invitation in the middle of praise and worship, God has a better plan. Can we establish that again this morning, church? Number two, there's a second thing we should do in this prayer of Solomon's. I see he prayed for stuff. He prayed for favor. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. That's the Lord saying, pray and seek my face. That's kind of an Old Testament term, to seek the face of the Lord. Because in the Old Testament, you couldn't email or text or call your congressman. If you wanted to have an audience with the king, you wanted to talk to somebody who could fix something, you were very fortunate if that would ever happen. You had to ask. You didn't just barge in on the king. You get your head lopped for something like that. So you would, if the term was to seek the face of the king to get his attention. Because they knew that if we can seek the face and get the attention of the king, we are probably going to get what we ask for. And so, therefore, you are asking for favor. When you ask for favor from God, it's like asking him to do you a favor. Does he see it that way? Is the Lord at that? Well, let's check out Numbers chapter 6 and see what God said. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his son, Aaron and his sons were the priest, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Now that's the Lord. Those are his words. Telling Moses to tell the priests, to tell the people, like I'm telling you, seek the Lord. He says, seek my face. Ask me for favor. Ask me that my face might shine upon you and give you that kind of favor. What does that look like? What should that look like for you? I'll tell you, let's start tomorrow morning. You're going to get up tomorrow morning, you're going to take your shower and shave your whiskers or put your makeup on, you're going to go to work, some of you. And you want the face of the Lord to shine upon you and be gracious to you. So here's how you want to pray tomorrow morning. Lord, before I go into work, before I even hit the parking lot, I am asking you for your face to shine upon me. Give me your favor this morning, I pray. I pray you'll give it to me with my boss. First of all, Lord, that my boss will have thoughts from God. He'll make judgments and decisions about me and my life and my performance that are being led by the Lord. That he'll treat me fairly and just. That when Jesus said, if I'm faithful with a few things, you'll put me in charge of more things. I'm praying you'll give my boss that kind of favor over me, Lord. That he would have favor then over my finances. I pray, Lord, that you'll give me favor and your face will shine between me and my coworkers. I pray that today we'll work together in harmony and love as brothers and sisters, even if they don't know Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'll be beyond all of us in that kind of power and that kind of favor. I pray you'll give me favor, Lord, with my clients and with my customers and with my hands, Lord. May everything I put my hands today to may yet have your favor and your blessing. Do you think that's a good thing to pray? Of course it is. That's what favor looks like. And I heard a story last night. Let me tell you a little quick story of real favor that someone in this church received. A friend of ours has been praying for a truck, a work truck, a good, dependable work truck. And trucks are pretty expensive, and there's no way you're just going to go out and make a loan and get a truck. In his heart, I want to pay cash for a truck, Lord. He's been praying about it. He asked me to pray about it. I'm walking into O'Reilly's last night because I needed a new battery for one of the church buses. And I had to change out. It's a two-battery system. We had one good battery and one that gone bad. How many have ever tried to lift one of them giant bus batteries? You know what they weigh? 435 pounds. It sure felt like it. So I'm going in O'Reilly, and I'm dragging this thing, and my back's going crooked, and I put it up on this. I need one of those. And so as I'm standing there, my friend comes in. He said, "Hey, Pastor, I told you I've been praying for a favor, praying for a truck." I said, "Yeah." He goes, "I got one." I go, "Let's see it." He goes, "It's kind of beat up." I thought, "Well, so is mine." So we go out there. He's parked right next to mine. It's another Dodge truck just like mine. It's got some dings and some blemishes and some cellulitis on it like my truck does. And he goes, "Oh, man, I got this guy. He is a mechanic, and it was his personal truck. And this thing runs so good." I go, "Is it dependable?" I go, "Oh, it's so dependable. The tires look good." He said he even got one of these. And he gave me, he showed me this little fob thing. You watch this. He pushed a button, and the truck just goes, vroom. I go, "That is awesome. It starts itself. That way your wife doesn't have to go out there in the wintertime and warm up your truck for you." He goes, "Exactly." I go, "Listen to that truck." I listen to that truck, and it sounds like it was honey. It is so sweet. I go, "What did you pay?" He goes, $1,800 for 4x4, four-wheel drive, four-door truck for his kids. And it looks old and beat like me, but it is like me. There is a fire in the engine, buddy. By the way, I'm not going to do it. If my wife was here, I'd do it. You know, I was so impressed with Donnie last week. Man, preached great, could sing. I can do Elvis. Keep coming, I'll do Elvis for you someday. My grandson taught me how to floss. You want to see it? Yeah. You want to see it? Yeah, buddy. This is how an old man flosses. Are you ready? Are you ready? How about that? How about that? Nailed it. My grandchildren are dying up here. Oh, man. I can't believe Marcia missed that. Favor. God has favor. And then there's one last thing. If you want to have a prayer that moves heaven, sin. Give it up. Point number three. Can I get that? Point number three, sin. No? Yes? Well, believe me, point number three is sin. Give it up. Verse 14, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land." Solomon prayed that. Lord, if we've done wrong, may we pray and confess and repent, and then you'll hear and restore. And that kind of prayer brought fire from heaven. God accepted that kind of prayer. That's what he wants to do for you. Is repentance that important? Isaiah chapter 59. "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." Don't let sin stand in the way, man. That's the surest way to shortcut your power to heaven. Like cutting the cord, man, sin. God wants to bless you, wants to give you favor, but he cannot bless sin. We can't live however we want to and expect God to bless that. Right? He can't bless sin. He can't. He can bless holiness. He can bless righteousness. He can bless humbleness. He'll even bless you when you ask for his face to shine on you. Maybe today you see storms are coming. Maybe if you get serious, the forecast. Siri doesn't understand. You know that trouble can be coming. The Bible says your sins will find you out. But listen, if you have Jesus and you're born again, the guilt of your sins, the guilt of it that will keep you out of heaven and keep you from God, that's been wiped away, buddy. You're not guilty. You're not guilty. Jesus paid for that. There can be consequences in this life. God can say, "My sin is holding me back from blessing you. I can't bless sin." And what it holds us back from is experiencing the real abundant life that Jesus promised. I came that you might have life and might have it abundant, not just so you could go to heaven, but so starting right now, your life could be amazing and abundant and blessed, even in the midst of a storm. God can bless you. God can prevent a storm from coming your way. Can he prevent a storm from coming your way? Yes, he can. So today, to prevent the storm from coming, how about we say, "Lord, I want to start with repentance. I need to start there. I need to humble myself. I've been living like I'm God. I've been living like my agenda was the big deal. You're the big deal. You're the big deal." I'm going to pray. I'm going to invite you to pray with me. That's what we'll do this morning. We're going to pray together. We're a family. We're all going to pray together because this is your personal business between you and the Lord. So why don't you bow your head? And I'm going to offer a prayer of repentance. And so for some of us, that's where we need to start. Dear Lord, we need you. We need to be right with you. Because we not only need your blessing and your face, we need your presence, glorious presence in our life. Lord, I know that my actions have a result. So today, Lord, I join with my friends and say, "Lord, this day, right now, we confess our sin. You know what it is. We know what it is. We agree with you that it's wrong, that it's killing us, killing our relationship to you. We lay it before you. We're sorry. And sorry is not enough, Lord. That the Bible says we must repent. We must turn our direction, change that way, go a different way. Right now, today, some are saying that, God, you know what's wrong. The forecast looks bad because we're on the bad path. May we get on a better path. And Lord, we come before you humble. You are God. You're the one with the agenda, not ours. We want what you want. And then, Lord, I do pray that you'll shine your face upon these precious people. Show them, Lord, that this kind of prayer really does change things. Solomon was right in what he prayed. May we walk in that. And tomorrow morning, Lord, we get up and make sure, first of all, that we're clean before you and we've repented and admitted our sin. Then give them favor. Not favor first. Holiness first. I thank you, Lord. I know you've heard this. Bless them. Bless these precious friends of mine. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Please, don't tell Marcia what I did up here today. Y'all stand. Sing with Josh, and I'll see you at the back door.
Come thou fount of every blessing, to my heart to see thy grace. Seas of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious song, sung by flaming tongues above. Here's the mountain fixed upon it, mount of the redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thine help I come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus saw me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, here to rescue me from danger, interpose his precious blood.
God, step in for us, Lord. Jesus, you have already done that. May we live that way. When we are running away, we know that you will pursue us, but I pray more than that, that we would just stop and turn around and run back to you. Your arms will be open. You will celebrate our return. We love you, Lord. We thank you. May we go this week, and everything that we do, may it be glorifying to you. When it's not, may we repent quickly, Lord, and return to you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys have a great week. We'll see you.